I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in, everyone. We are going to be joined momentarily by Dr. Nicole Sapphire from Fox News Channel, talking about what else President Biden yesterday, the COVID policy, the ongoing situation with the variant, and a couple of other things with her. She's one of our go-to people. We had Dr. Marty on earlier this week. He was brilliant, as usual. And then Lou Gall's here to take us to the movies, particularly over the holidays, Sleeper, Holiday, and that stuff. But we're checking Dr. Sapphire. She's a practicing doctor, so maybe she's got a patient or something. So let's continue. We toward the end of the last hour, just saw that the Oakland County, that's near Detroit, prosecutor brought charges, and we played you all that.
Hey, Dom.
Yes.
Before you go forward, just a quick producer note. Dr. Sapphire is actually awaiting a biopsy as we speak. She is a practicing physician.
Okay.
So she'll be joining us today at 1:15.
1:15. Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's her field. So she's waiting the results on that of a patient, that kind of thing.
I think
okay.
She's about to perform a biopsy.
Oh, she's performing the biopsy.
Yes, I am.
Doc, come on. You can do two things at once, can't you here? Come on now. All right, so that's one of the reasons she's more difficult to get on than Dr. Marty or Dr. Mark or other doctors. By the way, 2 o'clock today, just an hour away, can I keep my big mouth shut? We will announce and have a brief interview with our winner, thanks to all listeners for voting, of our local person of the year. All right, let me go to Chris in Mayfair, though, to continue the conversation from the last hour. I think he's got a pretty good dilemma. All right, Chris, welcome in. What's the situation with you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm an avid shooter, me and my son. I take him to the gun range all the time.
Okay.
He's very knowledgeable about all the firearms that I have, long guns, air guns. And my dilemma is I keep my guns locked up and say if me and my wife are out late one night and someone breaks into my house, now, do I give my son a chance to defend himself? Or do I just leave the guns locked up and hopefully 911 gets there?
Yeah, well, in Philadelphia, I get that dilemma. And I guess you got to make a judgment as a parent here, Chris, about the capability and temptation and all that. Sounds to me like there's no evidence of that. You have to understand, with these parents and this kid, there is a mountain of evidence of, again, one of these kids that people saw something coming. And I think that's a little bit different. Yes. In fact, the very day of, there was a disciplinary type of thing around this. So, no, I mean, ruling from afar, I could see if you allowed your son the ability to protect himself.
Yeah, me too. But I just, with the DA we have here, who knows what he would drop up.
Well, see, that's the dilemma. That's exactly right. But, Chris, my point in this whole story is I am tired of all these warning signs. It happens almost every time, and then nobody else is going to be held accountable for that. So I'm open to
Definitely
seeing
right.
if this plays out, but I'm very suspect of this DA by the harping on the ammo thing in class. That kind of
yes.
tells me maybe there's an edge here of her in the Second Amendment and a couple of other things. But the general idea of this, even the woman in the Sandy Hook thing who was killed by the kid, if she hadn't been,
yes.
she had to see how nuts this was and what was going on. And if you're in a situation
you're
like that,
right.
we feel for you, but you cannot allow a maniac in your home to get access to weapons. Look at Sandy
yes.
Hook. even talking about it, it's around this time of the year, I think it was, it just tears it. You were dealing with little babies here, so.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
So I'm open in broad terms, Chris, to exploring this. It doesn't mean they're guilty of this, and it doesn't mean I'm not watching this prosecutor either. But what is your decision in that then, given Krasner and everything else? What are you going to do?
I don't know. That's what I mean. I don't know. It's very worrisome because, look, Philadelphia has become one major crime-infested city.
Well, I'm glad you called in, Chris, from where you did too, Mayfair, because what pains me all these years knowing the city and all, look, Northeast Philadelphia, Mayfair, even Tacony 10 years ago, were places that were relatively, sure, they're in a big city, but it was different. We can see a lot of these shootings, Lawnside, the one on Roosevelt Boulevard last night. This is coming up the boulevard, the same violence, the same nonsense from other areas of Philadelphia to what used to be kind of a safe haven in general terms. And it's going to continue to happen. So Mayfair, I think, is still holding steady, but I think it's a little bit shaky.
There's a lot of crime. There's a lot of them dirt bike riders, ATV riders that just don't care.
Yeah, exactly right. Chris, what film should be remade? Do you have one?
I like the old like war films, like Von Ryan's Express. I like something of that era.
All right, Von Ryan's Express. That could be done again. That's always like a buddy film. You know, that had all that aspect to it. That's a fine film, Dan. It's okay. The premise
so,
it holds
so happy
up. It's,
you have such a deep knowledge of film, Tom. I've never heard of Von Ryan's Express
before.
Yeah,
it's a Sinatra vehicle. He plays, they're trying to get past the Nazis with a troop train to get out of Italy. That's kind of the premise.
Yeah.
And it was more of a vehicle for Frank Sinatra as an actor, I think, more than anything else. Okay, 855-839-1210. Don't forget, we do have Dom's Money Melody today, though, at 214. I leave Dan. That's his category. Music.
Money Melody.
I'll handle all the other things.
It's a tough one today, Dom.
Okay.
I'm kind of nervous that we won't get a winner.
Okay. Let's go to let's go to Jim in North Wales on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Jim, good afternoon.
Hey, Dom. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I tend to agree with you on this one. Even when it was, you know, the first details were released, I felt that the parents bore some responsibility to this, and for the fact that a 15-year-old left their house with a handgun, and then to learn that it was bought just a few days prior, it seemed to me at first that maybe this was a situation where they bought the gun before they bought the safe to keep it in. But now that these additional details have emerged, like the social media posts, I mean, that raises all kinds of red flags for me. A 15-year-old should not be posting a firearm and bragging about it on his Instagram, and a parent should not be encouraging that. And for the parents to then also have their own social media posts, it's almost like it was more important to them to sort of send a message and sort of do the opposite of virtue signaling, you know, for conservative gun rights.
And I think you're right, Jim, that this flies in the face of responsible conservative Second Amendment protectors and gun rights and what they do with their kids. That's my point. And I'm tired, after the dust settles, of everybody saying, well, you know, what could we have done here? Most times there's a lot that could have been done. I mentioned in the Parkland case, it was clear that sheriff and the Obama regulations, there were maybe 50 times he was called to the house in school. The guy that shot up the school was in deep trouble. But there were different regulations they were going by. Nobody stood up and stopped it and called it for what it was.
Absolutely, 100%. And that's not too dissimilar from the Loudoun County School District, where they just swept the rape under the rug because it was easier to do that than actually deal with the problem and maybe actually discipline somebody who's displaying problematic behavior.
The thing I would say, though, is, you know, Jim, in this Dan's point, the prosecutor has a tin ear. If you want to win hearts and minds on this and show it's not a witch hunt, the ammo thing in school, that doesn't sound too good to me in the totality of stuff. But throwing that in there, I think, makes people believe a little bit, this is just a Second Amendment thing. Stick to the social media post. I think that was pretty meaty stuff.
And I agree with you and Dan on that point. I don't think that catching the kid, you know, looking at ammo on his phone in class is as big a deal as them making it out. Now, I would stay away from that and focus on the other social media posts. That's my perspective. That's
sure.
That's how I look at it.
Hey, Jim, give me a film that you'd like to see remade.
Oh, I wish I could. I wasn't aware of the question of the day when I called.
That's okay.
So
that's all right, Jim. I'm glad you called. Thank you, Jim. Gene in Bucks County, Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Gene.
Hey, Don. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
I generally agree with you that the parents should be charged with something if the evidence is there. Let's take the gun out of the situation. Since I'm a parent, you're a parent. Let's say you have a 14-year-old kid, and you leave the house with your wife, and he steals your car, and he ends up running over someone and killing them. Should you be charged with murder, involuntary manslaughter, because you didn't keep your car keys out of the way? You left them home.
Yeah, well, I think that's a little bit different. Wait a minute. If the kid has done stuff before and you didn't take better measures to protect him from getting to the car, yeah, I could possibly see some negligence with that. And it seems to me these parents were, if not egging this on, pretty close to this of stuff that was illegal and troublesome given a kid's background in school.
True, but I think we open up as a country a really bad can of worms if we start charging parents with murder.
I'm with you.
I mean, a parent usually is the last one to
know. Well, they're not charged with murder. That is so wrong. I don't agree with that at all. Gene, I got to tell you, in my experience with this, people saying, well, we didn't know at all. It's people that just don't want to know, and I know it's got to be difficult. They're not charged with murder, by the way. Now, whether those charges are still overcharges, that may be the case. Maybe there's some other charge that's lesser. I could agree to that, sure.
Okay. My two movies real quick. I forgot which one you said earlier, but two of the greatest movies of my younger lifetime were The Great Escape and The Dirty Dozen.
Ah, okay. We had Great Escape. We mentioned that.
Okay.
So Dirty Dozen. Yeah, I could go watch either one right now, but particularly The Great Escape. All right, Gene, we'll put you down. For The Dirty Dozen could be remade. Any of those buddy films you'd think could be remade. They might even be able to do it with females.
Yeah.
Hey, that's one. It's like Ghostbusters. Yes, Dan.
I want to dig down a little bit further on Gene's point there. I just feel like we're setting a precedent here, and I hate to be the slippery slope guy, but if we're going to charge these parents, are we then able to charge parents who, say, have ditched their kids when they were young and they had to grow up with foster parents? Are they at fault for leading that kid down that path that led to him committing crimes and all?
No, that's too extreme. But if they're like some of these parents in Philadelphia that have abandoned their role actively parents and yet the kid's in their house and they're committing mayhem and maybe they kill somebody, yeah, I would take a look at that.
Okay.
I think you can't go too far afield with this.
I feel there's way too much gray area in charging somebody else for somebody else's actions like this.
Well, except that the parent does have a responsibility here that's second to none.
Yeah, they do.
Even though society is trying to chip away at that ability as a parent, that makes it more difficult, without a doubt. I'm ready to say in these cases there are a lot of things that somehow or another has got to be a deterrent to stop this stuff. And I don't know at the school how complicit they are in it. Did they follow everything in trying to deal with this? All right, coming up, Dr. Nicole with us. A lot yesterday from President Biden on the COVID front. What does she say about it? What does she say about booster shots? Where are we with kids? She's been an advocate, of a particular demographics of kids not getting vaccinated, that it's not necessary, or the upside and downside of it. I'll ask her all about those things. Lou Gall, sleeper movie. I love talking sleeper movies. He'll be here at 1:45-ish. But we'll see if any more comes out of this Oakland prosecutor. All right, 855-839-12.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Just hear the sleigh bells jingling, ring ting. All right, welcome in, everyone. Big Issues, Big Guest, Dr. Nicole Sapphire with us, Sapphire with us from Fox News Channel, and she is a practicing doctor. So there was a moment there that we had to wait. Hey, Dr. Nicole, I hope the biopsy went well. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the flexibility.
Well, look, we love it having a practicing doctor, unlike, oh, I don't know, maybe Dr. Fauci or somebody else that can talk about these things, because you're in the center of this and you bring that on your reports on Fox News to it. Your book, Panic Attack, Playing Politics with Science in the Fight Against COVID. Is that out there in paperback now, Dr. Nicole?
I think it's still hardcover, actually. We haven't done a paperback release yet, but, you know, the information is still as relevant as ever. And, you know, I, especially as we head in to the media headlines with the Omicron variant, it's like, oh my gosh, the panic that is continuing to ensue.
Yeah, let's talk about that. And that's what I wanted to ask first. What's the line, let's say you were in Dr. Fauci's role, public health, where we're prudent, what do we do to get ready, that we have all things ready to go, we don't get caught a little bit here, without the panic? I don't even know if it's possible, given how the sides are drawn on this, but what do you say is the way to go?
You know, first of all, I think information is always a good thing. And I, unfortunately, with the era of media, social media, television, radio, podcasts, et cetera, you know, it's going to be hard not for some of that panic to ensue, because people don't necessarily know what to do with that information. And, you know, historically, it would have been much better if several weeks went by and the only people who really knew what was going on was, say, the scientists and public health officials. And once they actually had definitive information, then came forward with the public. That would save the public 2 to 3 weeks of unnecessary panic, especially if it turns out to be, you know, a less virulent strain or, you know, completely amenable to our vaccines, et cetera. But right now we're in this state of flux. A lot of people don't know what's going on, including the scientists themselves. And so I think it's really important that people acknowledge that and acknowledge that everything that's being heard right now, a lot of it's conjecture, and we really won't have any hard, steadfast data or information for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I think Fauci has overplayed. Dr. Nicole, I interviewed him a few times and used to watch him religiously whenever he was on the Sunday shows way back when. And this has morphed into something. He can't be the figure to bring us together, in my view, anymore. The overexposure, the trying to get too far out ahead of it, then backpedaling. He's done too much damage to his own gravitas, if you will.
Well, unfortunately, so Dr. Fauci, incredibly respectable individual, very accomplished. And, you know, there's a reason that he's been in his role for decades now. And that is because, you know, he kind of goes with the flow in that sense. But as we saw in his press conference earlier this week, which was a bit disorganized, and he was asked some hard questions. And unfortunately, he didn't have science-backed answers for them. And when you start doing that and you start, bending what's being said because of the politics of it, that's a real problem. And unfortunately, Dr. Fauci over the last couple of years has lost a lot of credibility. There's been a lot of influence by external forces, and it doesn't seem that he is as science and data driven as he likes to think he is.
What is top of the mind for you now? I don't know that I see you all the time on Fox. I particularly think about you last time we talked and kids and the up and down, the plus and minus of vaccinating them. Where's Dr. Nicole at this point with different age groups?
Well, people can really know my opinion because I put out a Wall Street Journal opinion piece about it right as it was becoming available called Should You Vaccinate Your Five-Year-Old? And I did this with my friend and colleague, also Fox News contributor, Dr. Marty McCary at Johns Hopkins. And what we did was we really poured through the Pfizer data. And myself having two kids in this age group, you know, I can tell you that, you know, it's not a knee-jerk reflex that, you know, I ran out to get them to be first in line for the vaccine. I think that the conversation needs to be much more broad. I think that if a child has already recovered from COVID and has natural immunity, at this point, there isn't sufficient evidence to show me the benefit of a vaccine in that child. Obviously, I'm talking about healthy kids. If someone has, you know, a comorbidity that puts them to be markedly vulnerable, that's different. But I'm talking in general, healthy young children. So if they've already recovered from COVID and they have natural immunity, I'm not sure that the vaccine adds benefit. I haven't seen data of that yet. I also think that a conversation should be had as to whether or not children should be getting a single dose of the vaccine. The far majority of side effects happen after the second dose. And there's some data out of Israel and other places that adolescents, after a single dose of the vaccine, provided 100% efficacy at preventing infection. So what are we really getting with that second dose? Now, some people will argue, well, that first dose primes the immune system, and the second dose really kicks it in gear and gives them more of that long-term cell-mediated immunity, which I don't disagree with. But the question is, what is the risk to this child of a severe outcome of COVID anyway? We know that the overwhelming majority of children who have gotten severely ill from COVID-19 have a comorbidity, whether it is asthma, congenital heart disease, or just obesity. In these populations, that is when you start to have the conversation with the pediatrician about vaccinating that child. Do you give them a single dose?
Exactly.
Do you delay the second dose? But that are certainly the benefit of vaccinating a children with a pre-existing condition is there.
Dr. Nicole, here in Pennsylvania, we have someone heading up our public health department that I push back on quite a bit, who's not a doctor and not a scientist. I guess you can be a bureaucrat and do that, but I'm suspect of it. We're now counting, following the CDC allowing this, 17,000 people were added as being infections of COVID in Pennsylvania after the initial infection if 90 days lapses. And that technically apparently is the CDC. But there's a push by this department in Pennsylvania to diminish what you and Dr. Marty, who was on the show again this week too, I know are supporters of, and as a non-scientist I am, the efficacy of natural immunity. In other words, it seems to me they're trying to diminish, and so far as we know, there does seem to be outstanding efficacy to natural immunity after you've had the original infection.
Undoubtedly. And actually, just this week, there's been even more literature coming out from the Siren study out of the UK, which looked at over 30,000 healthcare workers from the course of December 2020 through September 2021. And it overwhelmingly showed that natural immunity, even greater than 15 months after infection, was still protective. Now, of course, it's not 100%. Nothing is 100%. The natural immunity is not, vaccine-induced immunity is not, but the overwhelming majority of people who have been previously infected and who are able to mount an immune response, that is protective immunity. And it's very difficult to wrap my head around why public health officials are still having a difficult time in publicly acknowledging this. And the only thing I can come up with is they're trying not to have anything thwart their vaccine and booster effort. But by doing that, they're suppressing science, and all that does is promulgate more skepticism and loses credibility in them themselves.
I agree, and I think that's the sweet spot, the compromise, if you would. If you have someone that can speak as you do or Dr. Marty does on this that are pro-vaccine, certainly, but are talking about this immunity in addition to that, then only the people that are just wedded to something they can't shake as far as vaccine, we're going to see more people buying in, I think. But if you continue to do this, then why would I trust your word when scientifically you are brushing this aside because you see a greater goal of vaccination out there?
That's right. And it's interesting because the way that you communicate data also says you can really distort data any way you want to fit your narrative. So that same study that I was just talking about, it showed that natural immunity was stronger than someone who was fully vaccinated at preventing infection. Well, they also checked, what about the people who have been vaccinated and have natural immunity? Well, that group is the strongest of them all. So they have vaccine immunity and mm-hmm. natural immunity. That's more protective than natural immunity alone and more protective than vaccine-induced immunity alone. The biggest headline out of that was, even those who have recovered from COVID should get vaccinated. It's like, yes, but you're not mentioning the fact that even just being recovered from COVID was more protective than vaccine. So, you know, it's a little bit frustrating. Again, they kind of push under the rug the natural immunity. I understand why they're doing that, because there's already a lot of skepticism with vaccines. But I think that they would gain more trust if they were more forthcoming and more transparent with the American people.
Exactly. A parting question for you, Dr. Nicole. The booster shot now, great guns with that. The president talking about it yesterday, rolling out that program. What have you studied? Would you get a booster shot, for example?
Well, I am one of those individuals who is strong as all. I actually recently recovered from a breakthrough COVID infection courtesy of my 7-year-old child. So myself and my little boys all just had COVID. So we are basking in our natural immunity at this time. So
hey, can I use that phrase, basking in your natural immunity? That's a great title for a book, of poetry on this.
But I won't tell people, I encourage people to go out and get natural immunity, because that's risky. And this virus is very, very tricky.
Random, right.
Past it now. I have recovered. So now, yes, I can bask in my natural immunity. So the boosters, it is clear cut. I mean, real world data, just looking at what's happened and the data showing, you know, after 6 months, vaccine's ability to prevent infection really drops off. It's still pretty good at keeping people out of the hospital and keeping them alive, but it's not helping to cut down that viral transmission as much as we need it to. So the reason behind boosting people is to give them that antibody response to help decrease transmission, prevent infection, and further decrease the risk of someone going into the hospital. Do I think boosters are a good idea in certain populations? Absolutely, especially those over the age of, say, 55, where we know their immune systems drop off even more, as well as those who are vulnerable or have medical comorbidities. I'm not necessarily on board with the every adult should go out and get a vaccine booster right now, especially the younger males, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, which we know they have a higher risk of having heart inflammation after. So I know the CDC recommends that right now. I have not been convinced of data that everyone should go and get it, but I do think a large amount of the population should go and get it. It will not only protect them, but it will also help us decrease community transmission.
It's great to talk to a real doctor, particularly one basking in their natural immunity now. Dr. Nicole, thank you so much. Where do we follow you on Twitter or wherever on social media?
Twitter and Instagram, and NBSAPHIERMD is my Twitter, and you'll find me. Just Google me.
All right, doctor. Thank you very, very much for joining us today. Have a nice weekend.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Dr. Nicole Saffire here. Coming up, the story I led off with today, in the House, they were storming the Bastille yesterday, the assembly, really, over in New Jersey, blocked by state troopers who said, show us your papers, essentially, to get in here, your vaccine mandate card and or your COVID test from today. We have the representative who said this is tyranny on the spot to the media. Assemblyperson Eric Peterson, Assemblyman Peterson, with us next on The Dom Show on Talk Radio 1210. When we pass around the coffee and the pumpkin pie. All right, welcome in. Was it like that yesterday in the Assembly in New Jersey? Dom Giordano show. Let's go to Assemblyman Eric Peterson, I believe from Hunterdon over in Jersey on Talk Radio 1210. Assemblyman, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Don.
Give us some of the towns that you represent for listeners to put an idea where you are.
Sure. I represent northern part of Hunterdon County, Clinton Town, High Bridge, Franklin Township where I live, Alexandria, and then I represent, there's more towns than that, but I represent some towns in Warren County, Washington Township, Mansfield, Hackettstown, Phillipsburg, Wapakon, and then I represent some towns in Somerset County, Bridgewater, Bedminster, where Donald Trump has his golf course.
nice mention. Yeah.
And the Bound Brooks.
So yesterday you told the media, hey, America, take a look at this. This is tyranny. What do you say, Eric, to those who say, come on now, the other side saying, theatrics. You guys are just being spoiled and putting their health at risk, and then you engage in being like a Braveheart here. What do you say to that guy?
Well, I've never been called a Braveheart before. But I'll take it. Look, the I think people need to look at the facts, right? The fact is, if you get the jab, there's no you still can catch the virus and you can still transmit it. It's no different than somebody who hasn't gotten it. So to go through this game that we're going to make people who produce their vaccine card or they have to take a COVID test to be able to enter in is just ridiculous on the face of it. The real truth is the reason they instituted these rules, and the rules were enjoined by a court yesterday. The courts, the Office of Legislative Services, which is a function of the legislature, said that the rule as to the legislature was illegal because of the way that it was done is beyond their scope of authority to institute that to us in the legislature. Now, the real reason that they're doing this is all Governor Murphy. This is all has his fingerprints all over it. Mm-hmm. There are these folks. There's an organization in New Jersey has about 35,000 members, and it's a bunch of moms who believe in medical freedom. And he doesn't want them coming to the state house and participating in the proceedings. They don't want them participating in committee hearings, and they don't want them being at voting sessions. And what they're trying to do is shut them out because they know they're not vaccinated and they know they won't take the test. And so they're trying to keep them from being able to petition their government, which they have a right under the Constitution to do. And that's what this is really about. And what they thought they would do is they would get Republicans like me who wouldn't comply with it, and they'd be able to keep us out. And they failed because the law and the Constitution are with us.
And well, Eric, too, let me interrupt to say, too, the usage, putting these poor cops, I don't know about Callahan, the top guy, if he's a henchman or not, but the New Jersey State Troopers having to form this sort of wedge there in the beginning, it's really awful. It's not your own personal police department to be able to do that.
Well, that's right. And the day before, Superintendent Callahan said that his police were not going to prevent any legislator from entering the chamber or entering the building. And sometime between yesterday afternoon or the Wednesday afternoon and Thursday morning, that all changed. And Dom, I got to tell you, I drove into Trenton yesterday and there were state troopers everywhere outside the building, inside the building. They were everywhere. There's never been that many state troopers in the Capitol building under any circumstances ever before. They were there to try to intimidate us, for their own power. Because they want to control us, and I got to tell you, Dom, all it did was piss me off. And
yeah, I hear you.
It had the wrong effect.
You mentioned these moms, but also some have suggested, I think Matt Rooney, our buddy at SaveJersey.com, Eric Peterson, suggests too that this is part of them showing their muscle once again since they lost big time for Jersey standards in the previous election. This is a way to reassert who's really in charge here.
Well, there's some members on the Democrat side who quite honestly think that we are unfit to be in office because we have a different opinion than they do, that we believe in freedom and they believe in the government controlling everything. That's why this legislature has never exerted its power over the governor's executive orders, and that he continues to issue executive orders and continues to run the state without the legislature participating in any material way. And they won't do anything about it because they like it. They like having one person make all the decisions. And that's not how our republic is set up, and that's not how our state constitution is set up. The governor does these executive orders based on a statute that was meant in a time of calamity or disaster where the legislature couldn't meet quick enough to make the decisions to allow the executive branch to make those decisions. This is going on 2 years. We've been meeting. He doesn't need that power anymore. And he's threatened by what happened a couple weeks ago. He almost lost. And he lost Steve Sweeney. They lost 6 seats in my house and lost Sweeney's seat in the Senate. And they're afraid. They're afraid of the people exerting their power and taking back their government and taking it away from Phil Murphy, who's nothing more than a power-hungry tyrant. And, you know, this man, I have no respect for him because he has no respect for the Constitution, which he claims is above his pay grade, and he has no respect for the individual. It's all about Phil Murphy and having power and control over our lives. And quite honestly, I'm one person that's not going to stand for it.
Now, listeners should know, too, it's going where it should have gone in the beginning with this, to be settled in court, no matter how skewed that might be in New Jersey. Because, Eric, you're right. Everybody knows duly elected representatives, you have to have something here that is imminent and material to be keeping them out of the body that people sent, particularly in these times, back and forth. Are there any Democrats who are reasonable on this and see it this way, at least privately? Or is it lockstep because it's got to be intoxicating to be the party that can just, by fiat, do whatever you want?
Well, I got the impression that some of the Democrats on the other side of the aisle weren't totally against what we were doing and what we did yesterday. There were some who believe that if you're not vaccinated and you're not wearing a 3 mask and we're not 12 feet apart and all that, that they're going to die from COVID. These are supposed to be educated people who are making decisions for the state, and they don't know that it's a 99.74 recovery rate from COVID, that, you know, it's just as dangerous as driving your car. And these folks, Phil Murphy's done a good job of scaring the general public into believing that COVID kills everybody who catches it, which isn't true.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he should be ashamed of himself.
I hear you. Hey, Eric, I'm so glad under these circumstances we got you on. Where do people follow you on Twitter or Facebook?
Well, Twitter gets people in trouble, so I'm not on that. But people can go on Facebook and they can Google me and find me. Hey, Dom, I just want your listeners to know, especially the people in my district and the people in New Jersey, that we expect that they're going to retaliate against us. But I want to let them know I'm not backing down.
I hear you. That comes across loud and clear. As this continues, you're welcome back anytime. Just keep us in the loop, Eric, and have a nice weekend, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. That is Assemblyman Eric Peterson here. Dan Braveheart was appropriate for that. He moved the story forward, too, talking about these moms that are against this, that they don't want to be in the state house, and that's part of it. I didn't hear that or see that anywhere else. And putting the state police, you heard what he said about the numbers of state police. The Callahan guy's just a henchman. putting them in the middle of this to block duly elected legislators? Come on. You got to know that how that looks and how wrong that is.
Come on, man.
Yeah, just a gut instinct. And I come back to, why do progressives like Murphy like those sorts of cop actions? Well, they think it's their personal detail. Real cops out there that are in communities and all that, I shouldn't have said real cops, the state police are, but cops that are outside that, well, he's the enemy of that. These cops, though, are useful to him, so they get dragooned into this. What an awful situation to put them in. All right, 855-839-1210, you get in. Coming up, Mr. Lou Gall, if you have a sleeper suggestion or holiday film that you must see, I know, Dan, you told me that Lou has interviewed Macaulay Culkin,
yep.
Tim Allen,
yep.
And Will Ferrell.
Three of my holiday favorites.
Yes, I love Home Alone. Home Alone 2, I think, is a slightly better film, but that original one was brilliant. So we'll talk all that stuff with Lou Gall here. All right, it's a holiday season. I think sleepers are the first thing I think about because you may have more time over the holidays to watch more films, maybe some binge watching. Mr. Lou Gall with us to take us to the movies. Hey, Lou, welcome in.
Hey, Dom, it's good to hear your voice. Thanks for having me back on your show.
Hey, Lou, our side question today is give us a film that you think could be remade even better or in modern technology or ideas. And I've always been reluctant with that because you can destroy something that's great. So
very
I
easily,
did
yeah.
offer up a couple, though, and so did Dan. And I suggested I Am Legend, given COVID, could work.
Oh,
what
sure.
would you like yeah. to see remade, Lou?
The Rocketeer, I would like to see redone. I know that Disney is working on it, but when they first had it in 1980, I thought it was going to be this huge, spectacular film, go on. It's based on Dave Stevens' comic. But it didn't do well at all because some of the money was pulled out of the special effects and it made it look ordinary instead of extraordinary. And people just shrugged it off. It was the time of Star Wars and things, so it wasn't great. So, but that I understand that they are redoing it. And with a woman and a teenage girl in the lead role instead of a guy. So we'll have to see what happens. I hope it works. It's a wonderful, again, comic by Dave Stevens.
That's an incredible answer. That's something that's, I would
yeah,
want to
that's,
see.
That's, yeah, that's the type of film where there's a good core story. The technology lacking would be better. Any thoughts on Spielberg now and taking on West Side Story because you're dealing with something sacred with that film?
I haven't seen the film yet, but I know with Mr. Spielberg, I always look at it this way, Don. He can make any movie he wants to, anything in the world he wants to do. So why did he want to do this great film? And I think I can't wait to see it because I think what it's going to do, mainly the jets and the sharks and all the great numbers, and all, it's going to ignite a lot of young people's imagination and make them go to musicals and plays. So I think, you know, there is a real upside to this film, and I hope it's great. I'm sure it's very good.
Now, Lou, you and I over the years, some of the most fun we've had, particularly when people have more time around holidays and all, is to come up with a sleeper or two definition.
Oh, sure.
We think it's a great film or really good, but maybe didn't do unbelievably at the box office. I've been touting the last few weeks when stuff comes up, No Way Out, particularly because of the ending.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Costner a lot because of Yellowstone. That is one of the great sleepers. I always tell you, you know the one, Warren Beatty, Parallax View. I could go and watch that now.
Great.
Yeah. How about you, though? What's a Lou Gall classic sleeper?
Well, one I like, it may not be a classic, but a movie from a few years ago starring Renee Zellweger, Judy, the story of Judy Garland.
Okay.
It's just a terrific film about the last days of Ms. Garland's working and her life. And it's just a beautiful film. And it somehow it fell through the holes in Hollywood and didn't really get made. But didn't get the grosses it deserved.
Zellweger was great.
Does
she portray an accurate Judy Garland? Because I just look at Renee Zellweger, and similarly to our debate that we had with Lucy a couple of weeks ago and Nicole Kidman, does Renee Zellweger portray it well, Judy? Because I kind of looked at the film, and I saw that, and I'm interested in Judy Garland's life story myself, but I just thought, I don't think it's going to work. And it has 82% on Rotten Tomatoes. You're telling me it's a great film. Was she good?
I thought she was actually on an Oscar, so she did really well. I mean, she's very talented, but somehow the movie didn't it didn't get the exposure it should have received, and I think people would like it. And to see what a fighter Judy Garland was, oh, my God, it's just, you know, what she went through and the way people kind of shafted her all the time, it's just it's an amazing little film. And it has a happy ending, I guess. So the holiday, it won't be wreck your holidays to watch Judy.
That's always necessary. Now, Lou, for me, It's a Wonderful Life. I don't even know what's second. Mm-hmm. And I know the exact scene. It's not Jimmy Stewart. It's Donna Reed coming up with the money. I'm not giving anything away. When they're desperate there to keep things going, when she jumps up and does that, God, I think she's the underrated. We know how great Jimmy Stewart is in it. Yeah. But is that the holiday film? Is there another that you have to see over the next 20 days or so?
Entertainment Weekly did a list of the best 20 Christmas films ever, and they put It's a Wonderful Life, 1946, at the number one spot. So I don't think that surprises anybody. The film holds, then there's a darkness to It's a Wonderful Life, I think, which makes it work even better. I mean, you don't really, at three quarters of the way through, you don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea. You know, will it have a happy ending? Will Jimmy Stewart's character disappear? What's going to go on? So it's I think it holds up terrific. I know you're a fan of it, Dom.
One of the things about It's a Wonderful Life that I love is I actually watched it for the first time since reaching adulthood last Christmas.
Okay.
And it's one of those films, I've seen it multiple times through my life, but it kind of, the meaning of it almost changes as your own life changes. And a film that can pull
that
off, it's absolutely incredible to watch that.
Well, I like Lou's angle, too, the darkness of the film. If you have seen it a few times, you perceive the darkness even more. It hits you even more. You don't gloss over it. You get how desperate this is.
And also in these economic times we have right now, you know, a lot of people are worried about keeping their houses and keeping their life together. And this family is ready to go bankrupt because, you know, Jimmy Stewart's character is going crazy in a way. It's just, you're just riveted to it things come out. I'm sure everyone knows things come out pretty well. But it's still, when you're into it at first, it really throws you a bit. It's a Wonderful Life.
I got a quick question for Lou. It's a Wonderful Life a flop at the box office and it kind of became a wonder?
Big time flop. Yeah, it didn't do well at all. People didn't take it. The studio didn't even protect the copyright. It was copyright free for a number of years. And finally, they did a copyright. I think they did the music or something, so it couldn't be shown everywhere. But yeah, it wasn't handled, which I think adds to its allure, really, that people rejected it so much. And it's a beautiful, it's a piece of art. I mean, it really is a piece of art. And it does air on, I think, NBC.
Yes.
One of these Saturday nights pretty soon. I'm not sure which one, but keep looking for the listing. It's well worth seeing.
I saw it the other day, Dan, and it just about broke even at the box office. Imagine something that we treasure so much. Lou, parting area today. You've interviewed some of the most affectionate ones. Macaulay Culkin, what was that interview like for Home Alone?
He did it. Well, I didn't do it for Home Alone. I did it for Dad, which he did for Home Alone. But he was he was well prompted, and he was a trooper. He did a great job. He was there with Ted Danson and Jack Lemmon. They were this movie Dad, and Ted Danson kind of kept his eye to make sure that Macaulay Culkin was treated well by the press and by everybody else. A real class act on his part. But yeah, you know, it's a tough spot being a child star so quickly. But Macaulay Culkin seems to have handled it okay.
Tim Allen, how about Allen as an interview?
Ted, very serious, and he didn't want to joke around. He wanted to be taken seriously, and he was an excellent interview because, you know, Dom, you know more about interviewing than I'll ever know. But if you're serious with people and they come to you, and you don't try to make jokes or try to be their buddy or friend or whatever, they respond to that. These celebrities are interviewed all the time, and they want, if they're putting their time into it, they want some return on that time in terms of quality answers and quality things. And so, you know, really the interviewer in many ways sets the tone for the interview. And we have someone like Ted Danson or Macaulay Culkin, even a kid, and you treat them with respect, you get respect back.
That's what I always believe, too. Lou Gall taking us to the movies. Lou, we will talk in 2 weeks right in the center of the holiday season.
I look forward to that, Dom. Until then, I'll see you at the movies. You guys take care.
All right, there's Mr. Lou Gall. We'll have more with Lou. We'll give you some Christmas gift ideas, too. I guess the next coming up with Lou will be right about at that point. All right, we are just moments away. 4 minutes. Can I do it now? No, I got to wait to 2 o'clock. We're going to announce Who is our winner of our four nominees for our local person of the year? And Dom's Money Melody coming up at 2:14 here on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.